Hello and welcome to a new episode with me, Manali. Today I have Jeffrey with me. Jeffrey has used podcasting as a bridge to find new opportunities for himself, be it finding a job, hunting for a job, or hunting new clients. So Jeffrey is on the show with us today to share what podcasting has really opened up for him. Welcome to the channel, Jeffrey.
Hi, so great to be here. Thanks so much, Manali, for having me on the show. It's been great, and sorry I had to reschedule, that time.
Please tell me, what has your journey in podcasting been like?
So yeah, about me, I would say, in short, I'm just a guy who got my heart broken and then wanted to start a podcast, which got inspired by Gary Vaynerchuk. So that's the shorter version. One time what happened is I started to think, okay, why can't we just, organize this? Because I think this is the time I really went into this OCD space of organizing and doing the processes and systems and stuff. And then I started a series called Jeff Talk Show. And that was with the help of a friend of mine. His name is Piyush Kukreja. So that guy is like, I known him for 4 years. We haven't been in touch, but, he's the guy who introduced me to this idea of podcasting, in an organized manner. So I started with that, and then it was full of entrepreneurs. And then later on, I pivoted the show to broadcast Boobudi. So Boobudi is kind of my second name. And at third, I pivoted the name to The Teen Whisperer. And that's the name I took from the sex education, web series. And then finally, I settled on, okay, let's just do for podcasters, because it wasn't that much popular back then, the concept. And and I've not only, done this one show, a few other shows that include, I've done an 18 plus podcast, which talks about sex education. I've done couple of podcasts with the other people. So one, her name is Shristi. Other name is Radhika. So I helped them, to do some podcasting and be a guest on that as well. And I've done a memes podcast in Tamil. And I've done a Web3
Quite
based podcast.
A lot of variety of shows, from sex education to Teen Whisperer, and then all regional shows as well. So, what I understand is you have a lot of experience in hosting a show. And how do you go about packaging a show with a good perspective of an audience when you're beginning a show? Like, you have little to no idea of what exactly your audience is expecting. So how do you approach launching a show with that perspective? What has your experience been like?
Yeah, so I'll answer this question in two ways. One, when I did that, I literally had no point of serving my audience. So I'll tell you this very honestly, because that podcasting has been an outlet for me. I was never focused on people's problems until in the late 2020s or 2021s, because that's when things started to boost up in the space of podcasting when COVID hit. But considering today, what I would basically do is find a problem first, because in today's environment, I would say the first thing you need to do is you need to identify a problem, and you create your service or your podcast or your product, anything for that matter, you based according that. So for example, let's say that you're going, and it can be as niche as possible. So that's the power today we have with regard to the audience level. So you find that particular niche and you start talking with people first, saying that, I'm thinking of doing this podcast, but please do release a few episodes. I would say, don't just go to them and say, I'm starting this podcast, what are your thoughts? They won't say. Have a few episodes in your command, like, it can be 10 of episodes that you talking about podcasting. Any simple ones, just do simple ones. Don't do like mega ones, and have a simple cover art and have good, copy. I interviewed a fashion model. Because I was interviewing photographers before, so they got me a referral, and then I was interviewing a fashion model, and that got my first 100 episode, and my first 1,000 listens also was from a fashion model show, even though I was not into it, but I really want to experiment. That's one of the reasons why I never created podcast for, you know, the, solving the people's problems, but to experiment to see what works and what not works.
Okay, so I have a question here. Like, yeah. When you start seeing a pattern in your content, creators are often tempted to, you know, create content that works rather than what interests them. And they somehow burn out, like, this is not my vibe, I'm just doing it because it's working. So what suggestion do you have for someone who's facing such a dilemma?
I would ask this question in the mirror myself, to be honest. But I would say, you know, the answer is pretty simple, because, you know, you have to know why you're doing it. Focus on your why. If it's money, then pivot. No one's going to stop you. Passion, don't pivot, because passion works in long term. If you are in a space and you're doing podcasting about that space for almost like a year, you will get a spike soon. You definitely will, but you have to make sure you're doing it right, like tracking the analytics, you know, KPIs and all that stuff. So just know your why, and the why can change. It definitely can change, but at first, know your why, and if you're changing, know your why, then it might be useful.
Be intentional, basically. Yes, you know? Suggesting creators to be intentional with their content that they are producing. So in the beginning of the journey of creators, there are often challenges that come up, like how do you present a question? How do you make the guest stop rambling? And that's a challenge I face currently. What's the
currently or now?
Not that. So I'm just saying is, what suggestions do you have? Like, what mistakes do you think you had done when you got started?
Sure. So I'll give an example.
As a host.
I'll give you an example on this. So one time I had a guest, and it was an 1 hour show, and I only asked one question. And he, for 1 minute, I asked the question. For 59 minutes, he answered.
Oh.
Yes. So.
9 minutes.
59 minutes.
59.
Yes.
59. Did you publish the episode?
It is there. It is actually there. I mean, I would have talked maybe 10 seconds here and there, but it was there. So basically, I usually send the questions before, you know, so he got an idea of it, and then. What happened is he got really comfortable, or either he really got nervous, either one of two things happened, and then he went on. So I didn't want to stop him because he just kept answering the questions, and I was not really new, but that was first time that happened. Okay. The first time that happened, so I didn't know how to stop. And then I was like, at the end of the day, after publishing it, the episode was good. He really shared to a lot of places, it got good listens, and then I left it. But I promised myself that day that it's my show,
my
ultimately.
Show.
True. Ultimately, it's my show. And the audience depends on answers that for the questions that I ask. So that's the major thing. But yeah, again, it's my mistake. It's not guest mistake. I should have communicated, which I didn't. So it's my mistake. Before telling you how to stop it, I'll tell you another incident that happened is, one time I had a guest who was sleeping, who was literally on bed. He didn't wake up. He was just answering the questions on the bed.
An audio episode or a video episode? Please clarify.
Video.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So I didn't do any much research about the guest. My mistake. I should have done. That was the early stages. And you know, in the early stages, sometimes, you know, today the knowledge that you have for a podcasting feed is different than it was before. There was no set standard rules. There was no industry standards. So beggars can't be choosers at that time as they're starting out. So I was like, okay, fine. Whoever comes in, you know, I just need to publish more episodes. And then, yeah, that guy was sleeping, and has 5 minutes, and then I was like, okay, thanks so much, bye bye, just cut the call. So
that episode wasn't aired.
unfortunately, no, because there was nothing to add, to be honest. Even if it's 5 minutes, I would have had if there was content, but there wasn't. So Anyways,
okay,
yeah.
This also brings one more question to,
Yeah.
you know, just add in the, you know, double click in the existing question. Like, how do you, if a content piece doesn't turn out the way you're expecting it to be, what do you do with it and how do you communicate about it?
Very simple. Re-record. Tell them that we screwed up. This is messed up. It's better that we re-record rather than publishing a very bad episode. And you can do that if you think the potential of reach is high. If not, I wouldn't tell you to put that effort because, you can put that effort if you have the time to do all those things. You can. You definitely can. But mm-hmm. I would say if the guest is saying like, you know, should I do this? Should it matter? And he or she is also saying, you know, it doesn't really matter. I mean, if it's going to be like in a huge audience, it's fine. If it's not, then it's fine. So it depends completely on the guest's notion. But communicate it, telling them that, you know, the audio is corrupted or, you know, anything. We forgot. There are times I forgot to record for 15 minutes. And then, you know, there were times. So I communicated it clearly. And most of the times the guest will be really good. Trust me, I have a lot of multiple experiences I can just keep talking on about, but I've interviewed over like, in collectively of all the podcasts that I did, I've interviewed over like 300 people in the past. In the span of like two and a half years, because most of the times I released, you know, single episodes. So yeah, communication, simple answer is like, just tell them, you know, be frank, don't sugarcoat it, just say as it is. People don't want to read too many words, so just say it directly. Apologize. Please don't think like, you know, you are a great podcaster, you shouldn't apologize. They have spent their effort for no money, so please, apologize is the least thing that you can do. So just apologize, and then, you know, can we move forward? What's your thoughts? Then go from there. And for the question that you asked, how to communicate, you know, to stop, I would say, you know, use sentences like, you know, let me just stop you right there. I think we are spiraling a little bit here. If you could circle back to this concept of talking about X, it would be so great so that people could learn about Y. That's a sample sentence. You can take that and then modify it accordingly. But don't interrupt them if they are happily speaking. I have to tell you this. Okay. If they're really happily speaking, then they're comfortable with you. And I can promise you, it will turn out to be a good episode. Even if it's not, you will be happy at the end of the day of, you know, when you hit the stop button, you will be happy. Okay. So if they are just, you know, narrating things, if that doesn't feel like, because at least that keeps the audience engaged, the happy stuff, mm-hmm. the narrating stuff won't. So that time, just mm-hmm. tell them directly because it's your show and you have to do all the edits and you don't want them to waste the time on saying, and then you just cutting it out. They'll be like, you know, why didn't you stop me back then? I could have stopped. I wouldn't have spent this much time. So 100% transparency. Short-term hurt is way better than long-term hurt in any life format, in any business format. So this is way better. So yeah, okay, I hope you didn't have to stop me anywhere.
Oh, no, that's not the case here. Now we move on to the networking part of things. So you mentioned beggars were not choosers, but what change do you see in your like latest podcast season versus when you were started? Like, how difficult was it to communicate when you had like nothing to show versus now when you have like, oh, these are the episodes I had worked on previously?
You know, when you have nothing to show, you have to tell them that what they can possibly get in the future. Okay. So it's basically like, you know, you are doing an VC round or if you're doing a seed fund round, what happens is they give out prototypes. They wouldn't have even built the product. I was just listening to this podcast, so I'm quoting that example. So, you know, but you would get funding of, you know, some amount of dollars because you have a minimum viable product, something that's workable, something that can be done. Same ways in podcast, you tell them, okay, these are amount of effort that I'm going to put. For example, right now I have zero audience, I have zero followers, but I have, you know, I remember this Taken movie who's saying, you know, I have no money, I have no stuff, but I have a particular set of skills that I can use. So this Taken movie dialogue is there, something like that, saying I have a set of skills that I can churn out a lot of content using AI tools or any tools for that matter. And that will give you a great number of exposure when you are sharing it on your profile. So you already have an audience, you share it, you have 0% of video editing work. I've now got some audience from your audience. You have existing, you know, increase in reach in your existing audience. Mm-hmm. So these are the few things that you can leverage if you have nothing. So the effort that you're going to put and the result that you may generate, you cannot, don't guarantee them. Yeah, don't just guarantee or say you will get it. That will look spammy in these days. That sure it will. So that's when what you do, even you have nothing, is basically tell the efforts, you predict the results and you ask them. If they are not saying no, please move on to someone else. That's like 8 billion people in the world. Okay. So India just got the most populous country. So there's a lot of people in the world right now. Just keep exploring. Number two is when I have something, it still has an issue because I've been doing almost like 4 to 5 years of the entire podcasting space, but you know, I've jumped to various spaces. So right now I can talk about anything on opinion basis, podcasting on, not expert, but you know, kind of a need to know basis kind of thing. You know, virtual reality or those sort of spaces. Also, I've done a lot of research. So that basis I can speak. So people will ask me like, you know, even if I've done all these things, they will ask, do you know about this stuff? When I started the Web3 podcast, they asked me, do you know about Web3? Do you know about blockchain? I was working in a company which dealt with this stuff. So that's one of the reasons why I was interested to take this forward. And I had a passion, sudden passion of virtual reality. And then I wrote a lot of blogs about it. So I had some knowledge. So I told them very clearly, this is what I do, this is what I do. And I'm planning to promote it. I'm planning to optimize my LinkedIn. I had success previously in the podcasting space for promoting this. So it might help. So there are still issues, even if you're having, you know, the numbers. So just be clear on what you can give them and what you can get. Don't.
Okay, so spam. Has any guest like asked you for your download numbers or something of that sort?
They have. So the Jeff's Podcast Academy, it was a business model. It was not actually something I thought of monetizing. I used that to get clients for my freelancing business. So I was doing podcast editing, you know, podcast repurposing, those sort of things. And those things, I really wanted a podcast to get my target audience in. So when someone asks me, what are your download rates? You know, what do you think? A lot of times I lied. Okay. I'll be so honest with you. A lot of times I lied, but ultimately, they were not too interested on the exposure because they knew how much, you know, reach I had. But SEO-wise, I had a lot of value. Because if you search my name in Google right now, a lot of things pop up about me. Okay, there won't be another person who pops up. There will be, but not a lot. My digital footprint is way big for the name Jeffrey Bhubathi. So, and one of my articles I recently wrote is kind of on top results on Google, which is even just published on Medium. It was not even a site. So I had a good SEO value so that they knew, and I had good knowledge, and I can turn a good episode, you know, I mean, bad episode into a good episode. So that they knew, and they had content. I edited and gave it to them. I told them, this is what I do. Would you like to come and, you know, become a customer? And they said, okay, fine. We started. And I mean, it went well. It has ups and downs, but ultimately, people have asked, because of my business model, I lied in some cases. But today they can find out easily. You cannot lie today. So there are tools out there. So you can check. So don't lie if you are getting monetizations or sponsorship. Be very truthful. Tell them there's a potential. Then, yeah, they might help.
Okay, cool. And so what are the do's or don'ts while networking someone for opportunities? Mm-hmm. Like the way you structured. So basically, I got you on this episode because you used podcasting as a medium to generate business. So how was your approach? What was your strategy like?
Yeah. So first one, do's and don'ts of networking. I'll say don'ts first, because do's, there are like multiple perspectives to it. Don'ts, there are like very straightforward perspective. Don't be spammy. Don't beg. Don't plead. Don't tell them that they will get X number of results for this number of activities. Or, you know, don't just say anything that you really don't believe in. And even if you do believe in and don't have the data, don't say it. Even if you're believing, don't, you do have the data, but you're not sure about the future, don't say it. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it's like, unless otherwise you have a pretty good clear vision of how the podcast might spike, then say it. Otherwise, don't. Otherwise, really don't. It might backfire. So I've done my fair deal of spamming. I'll tell you that. That's why I'm saying don't, because it can cause a lot of issues in today. That day, there wasn't a lot of problems. Even LinkedIn was extremely spammy back then. People would just sell you like anything. Right now, it's not much happening. People have figured out the way to do the, you know, shorten it. So don'ts are mainly these things. Your, you know, inner heart will tell you that if it's a don't or not. That's very common sense don'ts. Do's. Provide value. So value is what I mean is what you can offer them, not just what they can offer you. And tell them that, you know, there's an opportunity, and just keep consistent contact with them. Because my first client I had for my video editing service was a podcast guest, and I did not even sell it to her. She just asked, and I got my first 10,000 rupees, you know, the first time that I got. I invested entirely into this mic right now. It's been here with me for almost like 4 years. So
that,
you know,
10,000 rupees is right before us.
Yeah, it's right before you. So it's kind of like, you know, I reinvested and then I made back that 10,000. So I would say just keep in touch with your guest. I had the opportunity to do it for a few months, but it might be hard. So, but currently, a lot of things are available right now, people, because you really can't say reason not to. Make a notion list, give a list of all people, just check in with them. Not every day. That would be so weird. Please don't do that. Mm-hmm. Just like, you know, once a week, saying either when you published a blog or anything, just say that I published a blog. So great if you could read it. If you just keep on, you know, following up with people, amazing things can happen. Because today, community-based marketing, community-based things are just scaling up like anything. So utilize that. If you have lost it, it's fine. It's not a grave mistake. There's always people you can do. So, yeah.
Okay, so this is like the back-end stuff that you're talking, like you and the guest, the equation between the host and the guest. Now, give me a perspective of the equation between a host and the, you know, the audience that listens to the podcast.
Okay.
How do you go about building that?
I'll tell you, it's a little tough. It's a lot tough, because when you are talking to an audience, you have to be constantly be aware that you are talking to only one person. Okay. So you're not talking to a group. You're not talking to a whole country. You're not talking to tens and millions of people. You're talking to the only one person who's wearing the earphones, either running or walking or driving, anything. You're just talking to that single person. So when you write your script, or when you are writing your episode structure, you have to make sure you're addressing their problems every single time. So this is in today's situation right now, I'm saying. Back in the day, no one cared about this, because there's only little people listening to podcasts. So, and there was little people doing podcast. So no one really mattered that much. But currently, if they are not relating to the content, they just skip. They would just really skip. Unless otherwise it's like highly conspiracy theories or highly controversial news. Those things, you know, people get attached no matter whether you're relating it or not. But if you're a very niche business, you have to be relatable. That's number one. Number two is make sure you have a good, you know, mid-roll. This is a mistake that I've done multiple times, because if you had like good mid-roll, okay, you would know the feedback would be a lot. People don't listen until the last. They really don't, unless otherwise you have a really good podcast. Really good podcast. And I'm listening to one episode right now about some SaaS product, and it's like 2 hour long. And for the whole day, I've been still listening. Okay, from the office, I'm still listening, and that takes a lot of commitment. It's like a lot of effort. So have a mid-roll. Just say, you know, if you're looking for something, please ping me, or anything that you sell or anything that you want to solve a problem with, do that. So have a mid-roll. That way you can connect easily with before people just rolling out. And third and final tip, I would say, you know, ask for feedback. That's a lot of things that people don't do. But if you're not doing feedback in today, it's hard. It's really hard to grow. You need to have feedback if you are planning on a long term, even if it's short term. Have a feedback. My feedback has always been, you know, you're talking too fast. My feedback has always been that. I tried my best to, you know, reduce it down, but my brain fires a lot of information before my mouth could process. So it just hard. But people get used to it after 10 minutes or something. So I saw that and then I was like, okay, fine. I really cannot change. That is fine. Those sort of feedbacks are not, you know, ultimately you do. But some feedbacks, like someone said me to ask a feedback. So I will ask at the end of the show, what's the feedback? So basically ask that to your audience, you know, what is the feedback? So yeah, I think that's mostly the three. Other things you can just explore once you implement these three things. Yeah.
Okay. So Jeffrey, as a host, in order to grow your show, you need feedbacks, which is true and it's really important. But when you're just beginning and you have, say, like 5 episodes, 10 episodes, 20 episodes, what are the KPIs you should monitor? Because at those times, I don't think you must be receiving feedbacks, right?
True. You won't. So KPIs will differ according to situations, according to the timeline, according to your show's growth. Okay. So I'll say, let's just take the growth, for example. If you're just starting out, have the number of views or listens, because listens is different from streams. So have a number of listens as your number one priority KPI. Because once you are getting in the people, that's after that you start, you know, making them retain in the show. So if you're starting out, have the KPI as number of listens. Now, this is again my personal experience based. A lot of people will differ. But I would say for any show for that matter, if you're just starting out without any money, let it put like that. If you're a very Spotify sponsored show, their KPIs is entirely completely different. But I think the listeners would be someone who's starting out or stuff like that. So in that case, KPIs have listens as one. And if you are growing at least 2,000 or, you know, 2,000 something listens in average, then have streams as your next sort of KPI. Because streams are basically like how many people have listened, I think, more than 10 seconds or 20 seconds, something like that. Mm-hmm. So have that as your next KPI. If that is also increasing and you have a standard set right now, then go for link clicks, you know, CTA-based actions, people reaching out to you. So these sort of things will happen if people stay longer in the episode. So these sort of things will happen. So I would say keep these three things. At the end, you can have, you know, basically downloads of products that you have, downloads of softwares or services or booking calls, consultations. Those are like very far-fetched if you are starting out and you are still pivoting in multiple ways. If you really know what you want, that might happen sooner. But yeah, for pivoting stuff, I think it's better that you have these four things as such. Just to summarize, if you're starting out, you have listens. If you are growing a little bit, have streams as KPI. If you're growing after that, have clicks, ask, you know, clicks or CTA actions, feedback as KPI. And finally, downloads, money oriented as the final KPI, if you're like grown in exponential manner.
Okay, cool. So we have discussed host, we have discussed the guest, we have discussed the audience. Now we'll come to marketing. So there are different channels that you had been promoting all your episodes, Instagram and LinkedIn primarily. So with all these podcasts, what is the effective strategy you noticed on Instagram that worked and on LinkedIn that worked? Because these are like two totally different platforms. One demands video heavily, the other is text-based. How was your approach?
So to be honest, back in 2018 and all that, I was just posting both of the same content everywhere. There wasn't much difference to it. But today, if you're going to go about it, I would say in Instagram, yes, post reels. But please be authentic. If you are not being a guest on a show or if you are not doing a podcast, just don't put a mic in front of it and then speak like in a different angle. That really doesn't make sense. I mean, yeah, that get listens. But see, the thing with Instagram and TikTok is if they have a million followers, okay, let's say they have a million followers, the influence they have on people would be somewhere around like 10 or 20,000 maximum. That's where they make the money from. So on Instagram, you have to focus on the numbers, yes, because, you know, going viral and stuff like that, that's what works on Instagram. Sometimes people don't even check out who you are, they just like and scroll. So you can't calculate, okay, how do they respond, who is this person and all that stuff, whether they will be eligible to pay to us or they will sponsor us, nothing. So Instagram, just keep the numbers and do reels, carousels. I'm not a big fan of dancing or, you know, those lip sync stuff. I'm really not a big fan. I tried that. It was working, but I really don't want to continue it because I'm not that person. So if you are that person, then it's fine. That works. But if not, just give actual, you know, solutions to problems rather than just pointing them out to tools you know, saying that, you know, just sentence from online and just putting it out. That needs to change because that will change sooner. It's happening right now, but that will change sooner. So that's for Instagram. For LinkedIn, they have changed a lot of algorithms and all. And virality don't work here. Just because you have 1,000 likes doesn't mean you're viral. Viral is like an entirely game, you know, new game in Twitter, I mean, in LinkedIn. So I would say provide real value. Do some text post. The selfies are still working. I have no idea why, but selfies are still working. So post that, you know, to be honest, I wanted to take a selfie right now, like us recording. Probably I think I'll do that later so that I can post tomorrow. So yeah. Yeah, those things are there. But again, it depends on, I really hate to say it depends, but that's the, a lot of things and answer actually happens because algorithm changes every single time. And based on the period and everything that you're working on, it differs. But whatever post you post, if you have a very simple problem that people face and an answer to that, that kind of gives the virality or good reach or whatever you want to call it. Because either that's text or image or whatever, people will use it and people will, you know, give feedback. Because I've seen very badly formatted text post getting a lot of engagement because the content that's inside is good. People are interested to go and look at it. But it happens very rarely.
Yeah, Jeffrey, I would like to close this recording with the last question is, what are you working on currently and what are your plans for the rest of the year?
Sure. So currently, you know, since exploring this product and all that stuff, I'm planning to build some format of a solution, you know, for podcasters. To be honest, I really haven't figured out what it is yet because whatever problems that I was facing with regard to video editing or audio editing or graphic designing, all of those things are kind of solved in one way or the other. But there are still some niche issues. Most of the Web3, the podcast that I did, it's called Web3 Digital Marketing Entrepreneur. That podcast that I did had a lot of solo episodes, which are AI audio generated. So yeah, there's no barrier to what's entry right now, but there's also some new problems arising. So I'm planning to solve that. So if anyone's listening, you know, if you guys have any particular problem that you want to solve that you are and you don't have a solution, or you feel like this is very unobvious problem, you can also just ping me with that because I'm really trying to start with this. It's I'm very new to this. I'm not going to promise like I'll build one like this next gen Twitter or something. Very new to this, so but I really love your feedback. So yeah.
So you're calling out for podcasters or what
kind? Yeah, mainly podcasters. So anyone who's starting out, anyone who's thinking of you know, thinking new strategies, mainly podcasters. What have you faced an issue? I mean, for example, even if you were saying like, you know, while we're chatting that doing the YouTube, you are thinking whether you want to start or not. So maybe we can create a tool that can automate entire process of YouTube podcast things. So, you know, something like that. But yeah, it takes a lot of effort to create, but saying the problems will be like just 2 seconds. So if you guys have anything that podcasters you guys have love to hear.
Sure. I hope they reach out to you with their problems so that you fix them.
Sounds like therapist.
And make their life easier. Thank you so much, Jeffrey, for your wonderful time. And I hope to see you soon.
Bye. Yeah, likewise. Thank you.